If it's going along with what you taught on the week before, because I want those, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because that was awesome teaching week before.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't here last week, so you haven't missed anything. Really? Okay. I am going to do something a little bit different today, which shouldn't surprise you. I'm sure... Y'all like to hear me preach and like to hear me teach. Sometimes you get tired of it. I know I get tired of it. Hear myself. Anyway, I'm going to let you help me teach today.
Cool.
Okay? So, everybody wants to help me, raise your hand. All right, good. I got it. That's really
good. I got a big mouth.
So, in a few minutes, I'm going to, you know, call you up. You know, you're going to help me out, all right? So, we're going to... Of course, we've been focusing on focusing on good things, right? Mm-hmm. We've been focusing on, you know, we want to focus on the good things, but when the bad things come along, the evil things come along, we need to deal with them, all right? We want to deal with them, if we can, in a very positive way, all right? So, they're there in the Bible. You can't read through the Bible without reading about some evil things, you know, because they're... just about in every book there, so. But we don't have to focus on those things, okay? Best way to get rid of an evil thing is what? Focus on a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, too, you have to know why those evil things actually happen so that you can understand why the good is there.
Exactly. So it says here, Jesus said in Mark 7, he said, "For from within, out of the heart of men," heart is the Greek word cardia. We get our word cardio, everything, you know, from that, you know. And it's the, in the, in the uh, Greek, it says it's the center and seat of spiritual life. It refers to the soul or mind, since it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. So it's a lot more than just the seat of our emotion. When we read the New Testament, when we read heart, it should be their deepest thoughts, our deepest passions, our deepest longings. Okay? That's the heart. Okay? Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. I read this quickly because I always spend a lot of time on it. But anyway, how do these evil things get within a person in the first place? How do they get within a person in the first place? All these evil things.
Born with them.
Yeah, you're born with them. Mm-hmm. All right? You know, it's just, you don't have to teach a person how to sin, do you? Mm-hmm. I mean, it comes naturally, don't it?
You don't have to teach a child, a little bitty baby to lay in her crib and everything, man, and turn herself blue because she's bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So somebody's been there. Yeah. Yeah. So, what do we do about them? Well, we have covered this, right? We let them go. Sometimes you just have to let them go, right? We forgive. Mm-hmm. We forgive. We humble ourselves. Right? Mm-hmm. We got pride. We humble ourselves, right? We cast our cares on God. Get rid of them. You know. We have. We love. For perfect love, cast out
fear.
So we're afraid or we're worried. Mm-hmm. We know what to do about that. We cast our cares on Him, right? We put our focus, our time, energy, and thoughts mm-hmm. on the things of God and not on the world. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, who's doing all the action here?
We are.
We are. Mm-hmm. We're doing all these things, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're dealing with these things, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? Very good. So let's look at two biblical approaches to handling the evils which so easily beset us. One is from Psalm 51, Psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Very low point in David's life. Very low point. And the other approach to handling this, biblical approach, is from Isaiah 1, first chapter. Verses 15 through 20. So we want to look at these, all right? These two approaches. To how do you approach the evil in your life, all right? Now, the reason I'm talking about this, and the reason this came, this, you know, it's come to my mind, and I thought we ought to say something about this, obviously, it's something that I've learned about in my life, okay? And I've run into people, okay? And you may run into people. I'm not saying you're this way, but you may run into people, people you're disciples, people you're dealing with, who just wonder what to do with the evil in their lives, okay? And they say, you know, I just pray and ask God to take it away from me, you know? And that's, you know, that's an interesting approach to it, right? But there's another approach. You know, David did that approach, right? Mm-hmm. And there's another approach. What I wanted to do is present you this other approach. All right? And not saying, boom, this is the way it is, okay? But let's look at this other approach and let's see how that goes. All right? So, if I could have two volunteers, one mighty man to be Isaiah, one mighty man to be David. Who was the, okay, you, which one you want? You come out.
Either one.
You can be David.
Lord
God
David.
Lord God David. Lord David. You want to be Isaiah? Okay, good day.
They were saying we have a David to be David, or...
Well, you want to be who? David?
I'll be David.
You'd be David. All right, here we go.
It might have been named after him. Don't know.
It doesn't matter to me. Okay, here we go. So I put this up here so people will know who you are. Okay. All right. We're going to put this right there for you. All right, so and now I'm going to give you what you read, okay? So... Now, David, I've got parts here for David and for Isaiah, all right? You read the part by David, okay?
Guess what?
Now, you catch the drift. Okay, you're Isaiah, all right? All right, y'all, I'm going to have fun. All right, So, we're gonna look at two approaches. And so, David, of course, he's sinned, right? And so he's crying out to God in the psalm. He's praying, all right? Now, Isaiah, he's getting a word from God, all right? He's talking to a very sinful people, and he's giving them the word of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So he's actually speaking God's words. David will be speaking God's words as Isaiah spoke them, okay? So you'll pick that up as you read through it. So, okay, are you ready, David?
I'm ready.
You ready, Isaiah? Okay. Go ahead, David.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Mm-hmm.
Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. You remove the evil of your deeds from before your eyes. You cleanse, you cease to do evil. You learn to do good.
Purge me with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Get right, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red as like crimson, they shall become like wool.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Okay, good. What did you get from this? Did you hear two different things going on here? What two different things did you hear, anybody? Quinn, did you hear two different things going here? What was going on? What did you hear over here?
I heard King David, you know, telling the Lord, you know, to do this, and that Isaiah was telling him how to do it.
Okay, so David over here is asking God to do this to me, right? Is that what you said? Do this to me. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me. Change me.
Right.
What's Isaiah saying over here?
Wash yourself.
Wash yourself?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Cleanse. Oh, my. Make yourselves clean. Mm-hmm. Golly, that's right.
I'm going to have to say something. I have actually prayed what he said right there, and so many people I know have, and their hearts never changed. Because if you read, man, what it says in Corinthians, we're to take and do it.
Amen. Amen. So, all right, thank you. Hey, let's give him a hand, y'all.
That's good stuff. I'd like to have that.
Okay, thank you, David.
Yeah.
You can have this, David. Thank you. Yeah. Super. That's good. All right.
That's powerful.
That's pretty good. I like that, guys. You did a really good job on that. So David says, do it for me, Lord. And God says, do it yourself. Yeah, basically, you know, that's good. So,
David was a man after God's own heart.
David, yeah. Don't get me wrong, okay? I'm not saying that's totally wrong, okay? I'm just saying this is a little bit different approach. In fact, I'm taking things out of context, okay? Just to make a point. David said a lot more stuff than just those three things, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm wanting to make a point. I'm seeing this in some of the church people today. It's going around, you know, people just want to cleanse me, Lord, choose me, use my hands, use my feet.
Right.
You know, do your will through me.
It's already there.
And it's not necessarily I've sinned and I need, you know, God didn't make us robots. He didn't.
Exactly correct.
He gave us wheels.
Yeah.
And so this is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but anyway, so, well, interestingly enough, when I was reading through this and looking at it, I thought, is there a New Testament analog of this? Is there something in the New Testament we can come up with? And I found out, which one of these approaches to our sins is closest to the repentance preached by John the Baptist?
That's good.
And he, John the Baptist, went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to him to be baptized, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Mm-hmm. So, now we need two more people to come up and let's see what John did, okay? I know you had your hand raised. Who had the hand? Who else wants to be involved? You want to be involved, Candace?
Sure.
Come on up, Candace.
Nobody wants to volunteer for a point side.
What are we
going to
do?
We're going to go against time here with you. You're going to be the fake John, okay?
The fake John?
You're going to be the fake John, all right? And Candace, you're going to be the true John.
All righty.
Okay. Let's see.
Alec, you do it.
All right, you do it.
Yeah.
All right. So, now right here, where it says fake John, you want to read what is out to the side of that.
Right.
Okay? It's got three places.
What scripture is it?
Okay, all right. Yes, I got you.
What scripture is it?
Huh?
What scripture is it?
It was...
John.
Luke 3, starting at verse 3. Not what the 3. Okay, that's cute. All right. So here you are. You're the real John.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'll read this part. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you'll read the fake John. He'll read the fake John. You read the real John. Okay.
I got it.
Here we go. So let's see. Okay. So now this is where. John's out preaching, right? Mm-hmm. He's paving the way for the Messiah to come, right? And so he's a voice crying in the wilderness. And so people come to him, they're listening to him. And he's calling for repentance. And so the crowd says, so what does this look like? Exactly what should we do? Help me out here, John. Mm-hmm. Okay? So here we go. And the crowd's asking, what then shall we do?
Cry out to God and ask him to purge you with hyssop so that you can be clean and wash you so that you will be whiter than snow.
Who's talking?
Fake John.
That's fake not soul. What he told him, is it? What did he tell him, real John? True John.
What I actually said was, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise.
Okay, All right. So that's what the crowd said. And the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? Mm-hmm.
Pray to God that he will create in you a pure heart.
Is that what the real John said?
Uh-uh.
True John.
What I actually said was collect no more than you are authorized to do.
Okay. So, The soldiers also ask him, and we, what should we do?
Ask God to renew a right spirit within me.
What I actually said here was, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. Heard that one.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. You did a great job. Keep that.
Okay. Well, you can take your clothes off if you want to. All right, let's go.
All right.
Put that
up. Oh, dear.
Make a song out of that. Be thanked God.
That's good.
I hate to say what I'm about to say right here, but at Teen Challenge, when I was at Teen Challenge, we would tell the guys there to cry out to God to purge you.
Okay, you think so, maybe it's a level thing of them learning how to communicate with God before they actually understand the true meaning of it?
Could you repeat that, kind of expand on that a little bit? I want to hear that.
Well, I mean, if somebody is new in Christ and they're told to cry out to God, then they're learning how to communicate and feel His presence, and then God will eventually explain to them how they're really supposed to do it or something. I don't know. Yeah.
But here's the thing. The leaders at Teen Challenge do the same thing. They were Christians for 40 years.
But don't mean nothing.
So, yeah, exactly. So what I'm trying to think is, so why isn't the Holy Ghost, because he's our teacher, why, and that's what they taught at Teen Challenge, the teacher, why hasn't he revealed what we just showed right here?
Okay, he's posed a question. Mm-hmm. Why? Where's the answer? Anybody got an answer for that? Oh, looking at me like I got an answer. Okay. Nobody's raising their hand. Okay.
Jesus says, seek it and you'll find.
Okay.
And he
I was thinking that too right there, but I didn't know if that's where he's going. But these guys did seek. They could quote chapters to you.
That don't mean anything.
I understand that. You gotta have the wisdom with it.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead, what were you gonna say?
And Ray, he saw something and he saw and he found.
You know, it's kind of like the faith movement. You know, mm-hmm. I was always told, you know, the Ken Copeland was bad. Don't listen to Ken Copeland.
That's tradition. Yeah. You know, there's so many, just like Andrew Womack said, he took him years to get out of tradition.
I believed it.
You know, because he was seeped in such, gosh, tradition, you know, and he had to unlearn all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you get a lot of that from that, you know, growing up in and everything.
That's a good point, and that's probably the answer to your question there, Nick, is number one, we got to realize that what we've been taught all our lives, and really, we say what we've been taught, we think about what we hear, but, you know, a child learns more by example, by your example, than he does by your teaching, right? Mm-hmm. We do too, all right? So when we look around and we see people doing things, we think that's the way you're supposed to do them, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're always around people, all right, who do these things, that's what you think is the way to do it. That's what you think is the way to handle it. Mm-hmm. What we're moving into, all right, these days, talking about the last days, let's talk about the last, we're moving into a new order. Mm-hmm. We're moving into a new way of doing things. We're moving into the power of God.
Yeah.
Okay?
We've seen little glimpses,
little pinpoints of light in the past. We've seen the Smith Wigglesworth. We've seen the Lester Sumrall's. We've seen the, you know, John G. Lakes. Okay? Mm-hmm. And now we're beginning to see a few other folks, Andrew Womack, Curry Blake, and these other folks today. We're seeing a few pinpoints, but now it's going to be starting to get a broad light. Okay? Mm-hmm. Where we're moving in the power and the love of God. By truth. Mm-hmm. By truth. Mm-hmm. All right? Jesus says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. All right? It's the power of God that sets you free. Mm-hmm. Well, then, that means truth is power.
Amen. I say so.
Know the truth, and you got some power.
Amen. I was watching a program the other day, and I was telling him about this man. He went back and he showed... He interviewed an elderly black couple that were at the Azusa Street Revival. They were children at the time now. This interview was back in the 70s too. Anyway, they said that what stopped that revival, it lasted 3 years, what stopped it was pride rose up, and that's where all the denominations started coming out of, the Assemblies of God,
Church of God,
because
God
they
Christ.
Started, you know, instead of wanting to go the way that the Spirit was moving, you know, they got it in their head, you know, they wanted to go and do their own thing. And that's where all these denominations sprung out from. But they said even the children were just full of God. Man, they would even prophesy. You know?
Yeah.
Because they looked around at their parents.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that was the culture they were in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, we have a culture today, the culture of the world, mm-hmm. right? And if we look at that culture, okay, then that's the way we're going to be. If we look at the traditional church, mm-hmm. the brick-and-mortar church that we see today, we don't see a lot of power, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. We don't see a lot of unity, all right? Mm-hmm. But if we'll stop looking at that and start focusing on the Bible, on the good things of God.
Yeah.
Stop focusing on what people aren't doing, all right? Mm-hmm. And start focusing on what God's revealing to us through His Word. Then we can be full of power, mm-hmm. full of truth, full of love.
Right.
All right? And we can move forward, all right? Mm-hmm.
And we can, when we can be that beacon of light to somebody else,
yeah,
we can create that culture for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The people you disciple, you can be that beacon. They can look at you and say, I want that power. I want that truth. I want that love.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about, guys.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, then the possibility that neither is wrong. It's the crying out to God is a first step.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you get emotional, the reaching out to others is not as an emotion as much an emotional thing. You've got to deal with people where they are, and so just Jesus is saying, no, I don't want you to get stuck there crying out to God. Mm-hmm. Let's go farther.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Like I said, I took those verses out of context. I did it to make a point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I see. And what Nick was talking about is that it's fine to start there,
mm-hmm.
Nick, but you've moved on, right? You've moved on. Okay, and that's a good thing.
I still cry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we still do that. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not a place for that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a place to just move on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you all for helping me teach the lesson. Yes, sir.
In David's day, Jesus wasn't revealed yet.
Isaiah
prophesied about him. So,
right.
Before he's revealed, we had to cry out, but he made it available. Now we can do what outside.
We know when we cry out, he hears us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, he intercedes for us. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's pray. And yeah, well, sorry, go ahead.
Next Sunday is Mary Johnson's birthday. I've been taking money for her. I bought her two Andrew Womack books, and I got her a card, but I'm taking money too to go with it. So if you want to give by next Sunday, because that's when I'm going to give it to her.
Well, thank you, Mary. We appreciate that. Yeah.
I remember birthday because it's my daddy. Not a super memory.
Yeah. The 26th. All right. So let's pray and we'll have our breakfast, okay? Father, we thank you so much for your love and mercy toward us. We cry out to you, Father, with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We worship you. We want to focus on you and your goodness and your love toward us. We want to focus on the good things of the world and just leave the evil things in the dust.
Yes.
We thank you for this, Father. Bless our time together. Bless our fellowship together. Bless the food that we partake. May it nourish and strengthen our bodies. And may everything we think, do, and say today bring honor and glory to your name. Amen.
Amen.